Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, let's bring on Jason. Jason Artilia is going to join us here from NFL Films, NFL Network. And his story, I saw the video he posted a couple weeks ago, and he's a local guy, and he's gone through this. He's on the road to recovery from coronavirus. Let's get his story and talk some football with him. Jason, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well, doing much better than I was a week ago at this time when I was in the hospital.
Well, that's good. And I did see that video of yours. And you know, Jason, I was just saying before you hopped on, I think we're reaching the point now where this is – touched everyone in some way, whether it is the financial aspects of this or it is the physical aspects and either having it or knowing someone. Can you kind of just take us through your story and what you realized you had and experienced? Because I think there are some people out there who just like keep thinking like, am I okay? Do I feel the sniffles? Like, what happened to you and how did you realize that it was significant?
So I should start by saying I was down at spring training just for fun for 4 days. That was March 8th to 11th, and the time we left, it didn't seem risky at all. This seemed still very much like something that was happening in other countries, and any risk here was for the elderly or people with, you know, health issues. So it didn't seem dangerous to go at all, and the world kind of changed in the 4 days we were there. Came back that Wednesday, I think it was March 11th, had a couple days off. Then I worked at NFL Films. I work for NFL Network, but we do some stuff out of the NFL Films building. We're all one big company. So I work out of the NFL Films building. So I was there for 5 days. So I felt fine until Wednesday night, a week after, that I got back. I took a nap late at night. It was NFL free agencies going on. I had to be at work at 5 a.m. And every night I was waking up to kind of check the news, make sure I didn't miss anything big. So I woke up at 9 o'clock, like I planned, and had 102-point-something fever. Called my doctor. They called back right away. Said a fever alone wasn't enough to worry about, but that I should isolate and see what happens. And 2 days later, all of a sudden, I couldn't breathe. That was on Friday. Couldn't breathe, couldn't really talk. If I talked, it made me cough. If I tried to take the deeper breath I tried to take, it would make things worse. Probably should have gone to the hospital over the weekend, but didn't actually go until early Tuesday morning. I made up my mind kind of overnight, Monday into Tuesday, this is way worse than I thought it was. I kept telling myself over the weekend I was getting better because I'd have a good hour or two. But not only did it not go away, it was getting worse. So I went to the hospital, was at Riddle Hospital in Media for 3 days. Doctors and nurses there did an incredible job. They gave me oxygen, an IV, and that was enough to get me turned around.
Wow. I mean, that story, and I've been reading a lot, just people's stories and the people on the road to recovery, and it seems like the breathing part and that kind of comes out of nowhere, and that I guess that's got to be the scariest part. Like we've all had fevers, and a high fever certainly is worrisome, but I would think that the scariest part has to be when your breathing is impacted there, and you, I mean, you dealt with that for quite a few days.
Yeah, it was scary. The moment, it's actually funny, the moment I knew something was wrong, I was sitting in bed isolated because I had the fever, but no other symptoms yet at that point. And I was reading, somebody posted, I don't know who it was, on Twitter, Final Four style bracket. It was the Mets misery bracket.
And well, you got plenty busy to choose from there.
Yeah, right. I remember just being outraged that Bobby Bonilla's contract was only a 2 seed. but I was laughing at that. And then I realized, oh my God, I'm not laughing. I'm coughing. And then I realized, oh my God, I think I'm actually choking, and I couldn't stop. And that was the first time when I realized, like, oh my God, I can't breathe. Called the doctor. They told me to come in for a test right away. My doctor's office did a great job. They had a tent set up outside, and they had one doctor by himself dealing with all the potential coronavirus cases. So I went in for a test. I was in and out in 10 minutes. It took a week to get the test results back, wow, which was a little frustrating for all the doctors I dealt with, because they said, the doctor who examined me first said, I can tell you have it, but it's not official till we get the test back. And that's why in the video you referenced that I posted, you know, it's hard to watch the news when you're seeing these numbers, how many cases, and I'm watching it saying, well, I'm a case and I don't count. How many more people are there like me? So those numbers we're seeing on TV are probably days, if not at least a week behind. Although it seems like the testing is getting quicker from when I took the test almost 2 weeks ago now. But yeah, it was wild to watch those numbers go up on TV and say, I don't even count yet.
Yeah, that is. And that does make the news and everything we see in here a little bit even more sobering. Jason Artilius is joining us here from NFL Films, a local guy who has had coronavirus and is on the road to recovery. I want to ask you one more on this, and then we'll talk some football here and have some fun with the draft and free agency stuff. But, Jason, the question I have had, and I haven't found the right answer to this yet, at least the answer that I've been searching. Look, we know this is spreading everywhere. We know there's a lot of people that have had it. It's so sad watching how many people that have died from this. The one thing that I can't figure out is, like, how do you know how long till you're past it? And do you know that? And then, like, how long till you're past it where you're good and you won't then spread it to other people? Do you know the answer? Because I feel like I keep seeing these numbers and it's like, all right, 200,000 in America have had it. And then we've had X amount of deaths. And then there's like a big gap between people that are recovered. Like, what is that? Like, the recovery period, that's the part that I can't wrap my mind around.
Yeah, I can't wrap my mind around it either. And the doctors can't. I've had multiple doctors. I've seen two doctors at my primary care doctor's office, and then saw a couple doctors in the hospital. And they all kind of had the same answer. We can't confidently tell you because we haven't seen enough people with severe cases recover, which is wild when you think about it. It's so new to them. They don't know how to answer. You know, they're taking educated guesses. I checked in with my primary care doctor today. He said his best guess is I probably can't catch it again based on everything they're seeing. He said the risk of catching it again would be if the virus kind of mutated into another form and another kind of wave starts, then yeah, I would be at risk because it would be like catching a different virus almost. But as far as they can tell, they don't think I can get it again. I've been, today is day 16 of being isolated at my house. My wife is also in the house. She's done an amazing job taking care of me. But she has a slight cough also, but has never had a fever, has never really gotten sick. We thought the cough might be allergies, you know, with the weather changing. But so we've been apart for 16 days, and I asked the doctor today. He said, you are probably okay to be, you know, at least in the same room, but we're going to kind of play it safe and give it a couple more days. The original estimate they gave me when I tested positive was to stay isolated at least through tomorrow. So we're probably going to get into the weekend. And then as far as leaving the house, I don't know. I mean, that might be a while. And I was just telling somebody right before I came on with you, it's probably going to be a few weeks before I'm living like a normal person again, but we're all kind of in that boat. So I can't complain about that. You know, it's better than the alternative.
Well, for sure. Yeah, normal, and who knows what normal is anymore. We've right. I think we've all lost normal a while ago, and who knows when we'll get back. But we are glad you're doing well. And Jason, the NFL, and you obviously work for the NFL, it has given us something to talk about and kind of distract us. I want to throw my question at you, and if you can only answer it a certain way, that's okay, because I know you work for the NFL Network. But there is some blowback. There was some blowback when the NFL went through with free agency, and now I think there's going to be even more with the draft, because if you just look at the the curve. I mean, we're probably going to have our worst month this month, and there's going to be a lot of people dying, and yet the NFL is going to go on and have its draft as if really nothing's kind of going on. I'm okay with this, Jason. I think people need a distraction. I think sports fans need something they could just read about or watch or pop on NFL Network. And I don't usually agree with Roger Goodell, but I think this one, even if it's not an altruistic thing, and I doubt it is, I think it's the right thing, and I'm okay with the NFL going through with their draft. I'm interested in your perspective as someone who's actually gone through this, and then just the other aspect of a distraction from, you know, the news. What do you think about it? Because it's the only sport that has a chance to do anything here, and they're going through with it.
Yeah, so to start with free agency, I ended up producing a bunch of shows, Free Agency Week, and which was not actually originally on my schedule. We kind of had to do some juggling because of the coronavirus and because of how we were trying to stagger crews and limit, you know, who was in the building, both in Mount Laurel and also in Los Angeles. So I ended up producing a bunch of free agency shows. I was actually producing the show when Tom Brady announced that he was leaving on Tuesday morning, which I no symptoms at that point. Who knew 36 hours later I'd be, you know, have 102 something fever. But anyway, when I was first told we're gonna add these shows and you're gonna produce them, my first reaction just personally was like, oh man, this kind of feels weird. Like, this feels weird. And then as we got into it, it actually felt right, if that makes sense. And I can't tell you how many texts I got from people saying, thank God you guys are on. You're the only thing on besides the coronavirus. And this is, you know, giving us something to watch. I got a lot of texts like that. The other thing I kind of heard people talking about, and I agree with, is, you know, there was this push or kind of outcry, why are they going on with free agency? If they would have delayed it, it probably would have only gotten worse and probably would have only multiplied the problems. So free agency, yeah, it complicates it. They can't do physicals and stuff like that. But at some point, they have to get on with it, and you might as well just get it out of the way. I think they probably made the right decision. Yeah, it does look a little weird when you're putting on the screen, you know, $100 million contracts. But that was 2 weeks ago. How much it would look worse today. So if you're going to have to do it, I think they did the right thing by going ahead with it. As far as the draft, it's a similar thing. I feel like, you know, I have nothing to do with planning the draft. I should say that. But I feel like as long as people, they're doing it remotely, as long as, you know, they're being smart about it and they're not making, you know, usually the draft, it's turned into it's not just a draft, it's an event. It's this over-the-top party, and it's clearly not going to have that feel. It's not going to be in Vegas. So I think as long as they go ahead with it smartly, I think it does offer distraction. It's something for people to watch. It's something people are talking about. When I scroll through Twitter, I basically see two things right now. I see mostly coronavirus, and then I see NFL draft tweets, whether it's, you know, colleagues or tweeting their stories or, you know, people tweeting about who they want their team to draft. So if that gives, you know, that gives the public something else to talk about and to watch, you know, I think as long as they're smart about it, I think it's the right thing to do. The NFL has the luxury of being the one of the major sports that's not in, you know, not in the regular season right now. I think at some point they might have to address, you know, training camp in the regular season. They probably will. But I think for now, you know, it's just, we got to stay on track, and we'll, you know, we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. And again, I don't plan the season. I have no say in the schedule, none of that stuff. But this is just, you know, as somebody who's, you know, close to this and watches how it all plays out.
Yeah, and I'm with you, and I think people will watch. I think it's going to be the highest rated draft ever because, I mean, people literally can't leave their homes, so people will watch this thing, and I'm excited to watch it and be able to talk about it. Jason, do you have any insight or a guess on, I was thinking about this earlier in the show, what it might look like 3 weeks from tonight? I mean, I imagine Roger Goodell is going to sit somewhere in his house and have a camera in front of him and introduce everything, and then maybe they'll have some sort of Zoom thing where there's other people, like, and maybe the prospects, like the top ones, Burrow and Tua, will have some sort of thing set up in their house so we could see them. Do you have any insight on what the draft could look like, considering everyone is going to be in separate locations?
So I don't have any insight, but what I can say is that, you know, the past couple of years, they've started doing a thing on day three of the draft where they announce the picks live from team facilities or from a team party somewhere or at a landmark that people associate with, you know, that city. You know, the one we always joke about is, you know, Mike Mayock losing his mind when a gorilla announced a draft pick.
Right.
But the point is they've turned day three because it's names that we don't know about, and or I should say the average viewer doesn't know about, so they're trying to make it interesting and trying to, you know, dress it up. They have been doing that now for, I don't know how many years it's been, but it's been several years, and that's a production. They work on that for months. But the point is they have, my guess, if I had to guess, is we're going to see something similar to that, maybe not with the party atmosphere, but the way they go to each facility or to, you know, someplace in that city to announce the draft pick. I don't know technically how that's going to come together. I can tell you I actually have NFL Network on my TV right now. Two of your alums, Colleen Wolf and Mike Airfaller, were just on the screen, who I work with both of them. I've just been texting with a couple friends who are working on this show that's on right now, and what they're doing to get this show on the air is wild. They have, you know, all the reporters and analysts are and hosts are in their homes. You know, most of the NFL Network shows are produced out of our building in LA, and that building is completely shut down. So the on-air people are at home. The producers and editors are all at home. One of the producers who was working on tonight's show posted a picture of his computer set up at home, and you can see the chat window with all the other, you know, producers and editors. My head hurts thinking about what it takes to get that on the air. I know they're not doing it live. I know they're pre-taping it just because of all the technical hurdles they have. So the show's on tape. It's not live, but just to get it a taped half-hour show on the air is a huge, huge lift. So I'm sure they're plugging away at how they're going to get the draft on TV. But I really don't know what to expect. It's going to be interesting. And I think you're going to see a lot of, you know, the tip, you know, what we think of as like the sports talk radio on TV kind of look, with four boxes and six boxes and, you know, people in different locations. And I think they're going to find a way to make it work that way.
Yeah.
And I do agree with you. I think people are going to watch, because they're just, at this point, you know, we've all watched Tiger King and
right.
Ozark and all these other things. At some point, people are craving anything to do with sports at this point.
Yes, and it'll be the first thing that is, you know, and I've watched all these classic games the last couple of weeks. I mean, but we know the outcome. This will be the first.
I've watched a bunch, too. I watched every pitch of game six of the 86 NLCS.
Oh, I watched that on Sunday. The Mets and the Astros game?
5 hours. And you know what's going to happen? It's still crazy.
But it's
Roger
fun.
Roger McDowell threw 4-plus innings out of the bullpen. You're
right.
Yelling at the TV even though you know what happens.
Yeah, watching old Jesse Orosco with one of the 1,000 innings he pitched in the Major Leagues. That was a great game. Jason, last one for you, and I'll throw a football opinion question at you. And obviously, you texted me and said you were about to go down there and do some stuff on this before you got sick. What's your thought on Tom Brady to the Bucs and how this whole thing played out? I think it is fascinating that we get to watch Tom and Bill separated now. That I think that's the most excited I am for the way this outcome happened, because we're finally going to get our answer to the question that every football fan has had for 20 years, which is, all right, who's really responsible for this? Is it Bill Belichick or is it Tom Brady? I am Belichick is the reason that they were what they were. I mean, not taking anything away from Brady, but I would put Belichick as the driving force and Brady is kind of a 1B, and now we get to see a little bit of how it plays out. What's your thoughts on Tom to the Bucs?
So when he first posted that on Twitter and Instagram that he was leaving, it happened. I was producing the live show, and he posted it was during a commercial break. Inside TV business humor, he bailed me out of a jam. Working with such a limited crew, I had kind of backed myself into a corner technically and was trying to figure out how to get out of it. And once that Tom Brady story popped, oh, that's now the entire show. So thanks, Tom, for your timing. That helped me out. But when he first posted it, what we saw first was the text, not the whole picture of the note that he posted, but the text just said, always a Patriot or something like that. So we're in the control room. We all said, oh, he's coming back. And now we're in a commercial break, you know, and there's, you know, a minute 30, so we're back, and we're all reading through it, and we're, oh, wait a minute. No, he's not. This is a big deal. And I think we all knew it could happen. But we were still surprised it did. I was actually, my original assignment for free agency was to go to the Bucks facility probably on Sunday or Monday of that week to hang out, to be ready if the Bucks signed him, because we thought that was one of a couple places he might land. Ended up never going, obviously, because, you know, we cut back on, eliminated pretty much all travel, so I never went. But I agree with you. I think it's going to be interesting. If I'm the Bucks, I get Jameis with all the interceptions, but you still spend a number one draft pick on him, and you don't give him a second contract in favor of a guy who's 42, going to be 43. It'll be fascinating. I know if it could get ugly quick if he doesn't play well. It'll be interesting to see how he does in that Bruce Arians system, which is basically, you know, the no risk it, no biscuit offense, whereas Brady is a very, you know, calculated, you know, hit the running back coming across the middle kind of guy, whereas Arians is chuck it as far as you can. So it'll be interesting to see how he fits in. I'm also fascinated to see what the Patriots do at quarterback. I know, you know, everybody keeps talking about Jared Stidham, who's there. I'm not 100% sure that's who's going to be their quarterback week one. I don't know if that person's on the roster yet. We also have the draft coming up. Who knows what could happen there? So the whole thing is fascinating to me. Like you said, we've all wanted to see is, you know, how many times have you had the debate on your show, you know, who deserves more credit, Brady or Belichick? And I think we're about to find out. I always kind of thought Belichick might retire when Tom did. So clearly I was wrong on that. That was just a guess, but you know, you kind of got that feeling. And, I think they both have a lot to prove. Our reporter who covers the Patriots regularly, Mike Giardi, I covered a Patriots game. I covered one Patriots game this year. It was in Buffalo back in week 4. And we had a long talk about it then. And I remember him saying, I'm guessing that they go their separate ways. He's been out in front of the story. And he basically said what you said. They each want to prove they can do it without the other. And they're kind of like a married couple that's sick of each other. And they want to prove that they're better off on their own.
Yeah, so, it's going to be fun.
His gut feeling all the way back in week 4. He ended up being right. So we'll see. It's going to be interesting. That division is wild, too, now, because we're going to get Brady Breeze twice a year.
Oh, it's a great day. And, Jason, I was thinking about this the other night. We talked about it. Not only is the division great, I mean, the worst quarterback in the division is probably Teddy Bridgewater, and he's, you know, he's a good player. But the NFC now, when you add Brady to it and you subtract him from the AFC, I was doing a ranking the other night of trying to figure out where Carson Wentz ranks among NFC quarterbacks. I mean, I wrote the list down, and I put Tom Brady in, like, the 9-10 range. Tom Brady, like, there's so many good quarterbacks in the NFC and that division, obviously.
Yeah, and I think Wentz last year, especially down the stretch when, you know, he was, you know, winning with guys we've never heard of off the street and off the practice squad, I'm hoping he finally kind of shut up the people who are still questioning him. Can he do it on his own with, you know, and with what we saw those last few games, he's got to be near the top of the division. You look, the NFC East is wild. Unfortunately, I don't remember the answer to the question, but when that week in January, when we had all the coaching changes, we were wondering in the office, when was the last time we saw three coaches fired in a division, in the same year? And it had been about 10 years. I don't remember what year it was. I don't remember what division, but it was somewhere around 10 years. The NFC East is fascinating. The Giants, great. You got Daniel Jones, you got Saquon, you can't stop anybody. But you know, you got a new coach there, so who knows what's going to happen. Ron Rivera, I feel like we've said this a million times. I lived in Washington for about 5 years too. I saw four head coaches in the 5 years I lived there, from 2000 to 2004. Ron Rivera, you'd think if anybody can turn that team and that franchise around, he can. And then, I mean, the Cowboys, they still have, you know, they still got Dak, at least for this year. I don't know that they handle that situation right. I think it's, you know, they're backing up the Brinks truck for Amari Cooper, and they're kind of leaving the quarterback dangling. Seems a little backward to me. But they still have Dak. So that division is going to be fascinating to watch. The other thing I think is fascinating in that division, not just the coaching changes, but specifically the Eagles, you lose you know, Malcolm Jenkins and Jason Peters, and they talk about what that means on the field all the time, but also I think off the field, that team's going to have, you know, some turnover and personality, not just in, you know, on the field. So I think that whole division is going to be fascinating to watch.
It's going to be great, and we're looking forward to it. Jason, we'll be watching the NFL Network. Continue to get better. We're glad you're doing well, and I appreciate you hopping on. This was a fun conversation.
Great. Thank you so much for having me. By the way, before I go, I should squeeze in real quick. Howie Roseman, who I don't know, I've been around him a whole bunch. Howie Roseman actually emailed me. He somehow got the video that you saw that I posted from my hospital bed, and Howie somehow got my email address, I think probably from somebody at the network, and emailed me to tell me he hopes I'm feeling better. So that was very nice of him. Like I said, I don't really know him, just been around him a bunch. So I'd like to thank him and the Eagles for that, and I wrote him back and said, hope to see you on the field week one if we ever get there.
Well, hopefully we get there, and that was a really good gesture by Howie. Jason, you take care, keep feeling better, and I'll have you on the show again soon one day.
All right, great. Thank you so much, and stay healthy.
Jason Hartelius joining us there, NFL Films. He's recovering from coronavirus. That was a fun conversation, and the beginning, just like here at his story, I feel like there's so many people out there probably like him who didn't realize they had it, and they had it. 215-592-9494. 215-592-9494. We'll come back. Your phone call, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.